ending now to the 4th of July while looking ahead. It is the Thursday of All-Star Week. We get Yankees, Rays back tomorrow. By the way, why is the Mets opponent slipping my mind starting tomorrow?
Marlins.
Mets, Marlins. A little Florida-New York action, huh? How about that? We'll be back in business with baseball. But baseball took today's off day and decided to drop next year's schedule on us. And in case you're just joining us in the car, Yankees-Mets, for the foreseeable future, will be back to two separate three-game series as opposed to two-game series, including baseball going full-on close-knit rivalry weekends, May 16th, 17th, 18th. But the Yankees-Mets in Citi Field will be on Friday, the 4th of July next year, which got at the end of last hour Loogie's head spinning. He thinks it's a disgrace that they're playing on the 4th of July and tried to compare it to my upsetness at the Giants and the NFL having to play on Christmas Day, especially this year. There's no Giants, but still, Christmas Day on a Wednesday. I put up a little poll at Sean Morash on Twitter. That's S-H-A-U-N. Thanks, Mom.
Enough.
At Evan and Tiki, WFAN on Twitter. Which would you rather have every year? Giants-Eagles on Christmas or Yankees-Mets on the 4th of July? And the early returns, a blowout winner. More people would rather have the Yankees and Mets on the 4th of July at a 67% mark. So, Loogie, your name starts with an L. Continue to take them.
All right. So, now that you put the poll out, I get it. Giants, Eagles, football, you want to be locked in on every play. I think this is more indicative of people think baseball is like background. They'll just watch an inning or two.
But that
is
part of it. Football cannot be background, which is why it should never be on Christmas.
But my point with Christmas is, and I'll just say it, is like, we all know this. The holidays stink. All right, you got your in-laws over, you hate them. Your family, you barely could stand them. And you want a distraction.
Dude,
I'll be the guy
kids,
to say it. And I don't have kids. I'll be the guy to say it. You're dying for a distraction. So you want to go watch
that's
that.
That's the problem, is the lack of kids.
Yes.
That's the difference.
But on 4th of July, I could go to the beach.
Ago? 5 years ago? Are you kidding me? I'd have my face painted blue in the morning.
But 4th of July is about the beach. It's about having parties. It's about beer. It's about summer. It's amazing. Christmas is about stress and who hates
most
who
and
cooking.
Most people find their way to a party near a pool, and there's mostly TVs outside. Now, you could find your Yankee Met game, and you're going to be with Yankee and Met fans. So I think it's great. Friday, 4th of July next year.
I think I'm going to win this. We'll get to the mail-in ballots later here. I'll win.
All right. And obviously with the six games back, another comment. Met fans, for years and years and years, you could say you didn't. You complain that you played the Yankees too much. Now that they're Steve Cohen's Mets, you have no more complaining. Bring it on. Yankees and Mets six times instead of four going forward after this year. Anthony and Dix Hills. Anthony, what's going on?
What's going on, guys? Big-time fan. He's a big fan of you. I'm a Jets fan, but one of the only cool guys that replaced this guy.
Thank you, man. I appreciate
always
that.
Always the Jet fans. Always the Jet fans.
I mean,
the big fan.
Look, I live in Floyd Park. I'm not a Jet hater. Got nothing but love for you.
No,
especially Nate Hackett.
I definitely hate the Giants, but you're cool. But
thank you.
I kind of just want to talk about, I really do agree with you guys. I think the three-game series, Mets-Yankees next year, is definitely awesome. Also, Loogie does not even compare having a Mets-Yankee game on 4th of July compared to the Giants and Eagles playing on Christmas. That can ruin your day if
100%.
The Giants lose against the Eagles on Christmas. It does not ruin your day on the 4th of July if the Mets and the Yankees lose, whoever you're a fan of.
But Anthony, do you have kids?
No, I'm only 26.
So ask the dad.
Why are you rushing him, Loogie?
No, I'm going to just say, ask the dad. Your Christmas is already ruined if you have kids. It's a stressful day.
No, but to that point, even when the Giants have lost games on Thanksgiving.
Kids on Christmas.
Football, your team loses, the day and night is ruined. And you know what the holiday ruined? Baseball, your day and night doesn't have to be ruined.
That's his point.
Yeah.
That's his point.
No, Anthony, can I ask you something at 26, how you have such a deeper voice than I do at 37? It's really bothering me.
You know, Sean, I don't know if you remember. I wanted to get to this point a little later. I doubt you do remember. I actually met you at the Jets and Giants football game this past year, and I absolutely hated your guts before I met you. And you're referencing before the guy called you a D-back. You actually were a really, really nice guy. And we had a
were you one of the guys in the bus I was doing shots with?
Yeah. Exactly.
You guys had a good crew.
And I was going to say, you took a shot of Tito's out of our bottle, yet you were eating the beef and cheese. You got the beef and cheese all over the bottle. You backwashed. We had to throw the bottle out.
Sorry, Anthony. I owe you a bottle to next tailgate.
Oh, man.
But I'm not a D-man, right?
No, you were a cool guy. It was good hanging out with you. But yeah, there's a full bottle of vodka that kind of went away. So it's a funny story that me and my buddies always tell. So
that's
it's all
funny.
Right.
That's funny. Next time we have an event, Ed, come by. Guys, I'll buy you a bottle of vodka.
I remember that. I didn't know I backwashed that band. Oh, how embarrassing. Oh, look, beef and cheese and Tito's. Also, we're at a Jet Giant game.
Beef
come on.
And cheese and Tito's?
There was a lot of stuff going on. At
Dude, that just sounds like a recipe for regurgitation.
And then I watched Brian Daboll not allow Tommy DeVito to throw a pass for three quarters. So you tell me how my day went.
I was calling that game.
Yes, I know. Yes, you weren't backwashing Tito's.
Throw the ball. Or let him throw.
Let him throw. Oh, what a disaster that day was. That's a day that ruins your day. Yankees, yeah. Mets, 4th of July, never going to have that
happen. Yeah, that set football back about 50 years.
Exactly. Tom in Oceanside. Tom, what's up? Tom?
Hey, that's, yes.
What's up, Tom?
Noogie.
Yeah.
I'm feeling your pain with your group chat problems. I used to want to take my phone and throw it out the window until I realized you can go into the group chat details.
Yeah, and you can mute it.
And disable notifications.
Absolutely. No, but Tom, what you can't do is take away human nature. And you want to peek. So I want to peek. When I see 156...
You can't have it both ways, my man.
Yes, thank you, Tom.
If it bothers you and you want to unplug without putting your phone on airplane mode, or you could just ignore... not be notified of those texts from that group for the period of time that you want to be left alone.
Tom, bingo, nailed it. Tommy Lugauer wants his cake and eat it too. You want people not to be talking about the Mets and the Yankees on the 4th of July, but you don't want to mute your notifications. You know how easy it is? I got a group chat with my friends from high school, and all it's basically become is, hey, did you see so-and-so got fat on Facebook? Man, we're better looking than they are now, looking back at all like the hot girls when we were in high school, right? Like, that's basically what our chat is. I've muted the heck out of it, okay? It's either that or bad fantasy trades. You can mute, Tommy, and you can stay. We don't need to take a peek.
By the way, I mute all my chats. I'm going to say something to you guys right now. I mute our chat all the time.
That's very obvious.
Oh, I mean,
me, T, and Evan are talking.
No, it's nothing to get. Thanks.
Should the executive producer mute that one?
No.
I don't
he shouldn't.
So.
Something like.
Oh,
I think I pissed Tiki off.
No, yeah. I'm just kidding. I don't really.
I just. Evan annoys me on the chat. If I'm being honest.
Why does Evan annoy you?
He's just. I don't know what it is. There's something about him. I just think he has terrible bedside manner, if I'm being honest.
I don't think he's even trying to have a bedside manner. I think he's trying to intentionally annoy you so he gets rises out of both of you.
He never unplugs, and I'm just like, all right, bro, enough, dude. All right, I'll talk to you Monday morning. I don't need it. Friday at 8 o'clock, what's going on with the sports? Leave me alone for a little bit here. So I mute all group chats, and Sean, you could attest to our group chat with the boys. You'll get like 500 text messages.
Did you mute them?
You want a peek?
Saying you don't want the Yankees and Mets on the 4th of July next year because your group chat is not. I'm sorry. It's not an excuse. It's ridiculous. Corey in Stamford. Corey, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
We're good, dude.
What's up, Corey?
Good. Hey, Sean, as a Yankee fan, can you just start fact-checking delusional Met fans who like to create revisionist history?
Yeah, the Mets were the better team.
It just annoyed me. Like, how did the Mets were the Mets better than the Yankees from 06 to 08? They went to the playoffs one time in 06. We know what happened. They were not better than the Yankees.
Corey, this is going to sound really obnoxious, and if Evan was here, he'd punch me in the face, Tiki.
Mm.
The truth is, the Yankees, all of these years where they go to the playoffs and don't end up in the World Series, which has been a lot, and especially those years like the Giambi years and everything, they all kind of run together, and I forget which specific years were which.
It's hard to rattle
off. Hard for me in that real time to go like, well, wait a minute, that one year with Delgado, tell the truth, like, I forget which year they lost to the Tigers, which year ended up in shame with the Angels, Corey. You know what I'm saying?
I get it. All right, I get it. But still, just fact check, because these Mets fans are delusional. We all know the Mets haven't had any sustained success ever, even with their new owner.
But I think what they were getting at, Corey, is that they have had success. And in those years, meaning playoff success.
Right.
So in those years, when the Yankees weren't having, you know, their usual success, the Mets were better. So they therefore weren't scared of the Yankees.
But that's the problem. Met fans... And I hate saying Met fans because everybody goes, well, I didn't do that personally. There was this overarching belief, and a lot of it started when you were still playing in the NFL, that, again, six games versus the Yankees when they're at their peak is unfair to us. It's unfair to us. They kept saying that. So if you want to go back and cherry pick years where suddenly the Mets were better than the Yankees on one-off years, that's the point. You got to be consistent.
Yeah.
Also, you didn't have a problem that year because the Mets were really good. The point is...
What about the previous two
years? Years and everything. This is now going to become a thing again. The Yankees and Mets
you
are
going to... You think so?
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm saying the idea, we now know that they're going to play six times a year instead of four. So it's on the table again that the Yankees and Mets are going to have two less games versus other teams. They will play each other six times. The Marlins will not play the Yankees six times. The Phillies will not play the Yankees six times. If you come to a point in time in September and you're a game or two back of where you want to be and you had to play two extra games versus the Yankees, I believe under Steve Cohen's rule, I never want to hear that from a Met fan again, what we used to hear, which is what led to the ruining of the Subway Series
which
and moving it to four
it's
games.
It's unfair because the Mets can't compete type of thing.
That's it. You can't yap your gums about Steve Cohen and then complain about the Yankees six times.
I think and I hope that that's forever gone. That mentality is forever gone.
I would hope so too.
Because even if the Mets should have a down year one of these years, or like the Yankees last year, they had a down year where they just barely clipped 500. Those years should be anomalies for both of these teams.
Right.
The likelihood of sucking is very small. I'm being serious. For both these teams is small because of, the money,
right,
but also, in particularly for the Mets, what they've done with their farm system, right, and how they've, even though they've bought it in a sense, but still, they have so many interesting and upcoming players, it should be able to sustain it. And you're already seeing it with some of these young kids who are, four more years or five more years under team control.
I'm not even going to give you 20 years, Stiki. It's 2024. So let's just play the game to 2034.
Mm-hmm.
Anything can happen. I understand the world is a kooky, crazy place.
Yes.
I am under the assumption over the next 10 years, Steve Cohen is going to own the Mets and the Steinbrenner family is going to own the Yankees.
I would think so.
As long as I'm under that assumption, the Mets and Yankees should have zero uncompetitive years over the next decade, especially if this Met year has already become a competitive one.
Yes, exactly.
So
right.
If that is the case, there should be no complaints and everybody should be on board. Six games, bring it on, and I don't want to hear in one random season, this really is unfair that we got to play the Yankees because Met fans, you did it plenty. I'm tired of hearing it. Let's go. Anthony on Long Island. Anthony, what's up?
Hi, good afternoon, guys. Tiki, Sean, and Tommy. Just have a quick question. Not a question, but I just turned you guys on after work. In regards to the schedule, I think 4th of July is great, but the one holiday that always pisses me off that either one team always has off is 9/11. One of those Subway Series should be played every year on 9/11.
We had a call last hour with this, Anthony. I don't disagree with the premise, and I think they probably will explore that in 2 years, but this is a rant. This year, 9/11, 24th anniversary, is a Thursday, a getaway day in Major League Baseball, and also, if you're going to play the game at night, which would have to be on a Subway Series. You're talking about Thursday Night Football. You almost have to bend the knee to the NFL in that moment.
Yeah, the timing just doesn't work.
I understand that, but then at the same time, though, you could split up the series and have a third. If you do well with that off day on the Monday before.
I mean, that's fine, but again, Major League Baseball rules on getaway days. It depends where you're traveling. There's a lot of moving parts that go unknown. Next year, this is why baseball brings us out.
Right.
2 years from now, in 2026, will be
By the way, Sean's talking about September 11th, 2025.
25. 25 is on a Thursday.
Yes. 2026, right. It's on a
You see what you did, baseball? You put out a schedule midway through this year. We're talking about next year's schedule.
Right.
In 2026 will be the 25th anniversary of 9/11, and that will fall on a Friday. I could totally see that being a Friday night, big-time Yankee
Met. It makes perfect sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Tim in West Orange. Tim, what's going on?
What's up, Tim?
Hey, boys. How you doing? I love the show. You guys are great. Tiki, you're one of my favorite players all time of the Giants.
Thank you, dude. Appreciate that.
I wanted to put my two cents in about this Subway Series. I think it's great that they're playing six games. The only thing that I think, if they play Friday, July 4th, I think that the mistake that would happen is if they make it a night game because of, like you said before, people like to go out to do fireworks with their kids.
I think it'll be a day
game. They like to have barbecues. I think it should definitely be a day game. And if they made it a night game, I think that would be a huge mistake for
it'll be a day game.
Yankees are off the day before, and the Mets are playing home the day before. So I think it'll be a day game.
Yeah, I think it'll because there's no travel, right, for either.
No, Mets are home. Yankees are having an off day.
Yeah, it'll be it makes sense to be a day game because people start festivities in the daytime.
Of course.
It would be 11 o'clock. You're starting to set up for the grill or being out at the pool or whatever it may be. You just throw the game on.
Waits till like 5, 6 o'clock.
Right. Or you go to the game and then you come home.
Right.
And everything is like already starting to pop.
That's a good 4th of July too. You leave City Field at 4 o'clock and you get to whatever party you're getting to 5:30, 6 o'clock. I think that's great. For those wondering about the opening days for 2025, the Mets will be in Houston on Thursday. March 27th. The Yankees,
early. Feels
Yankees
really be, early.
Yeah, March 27th. The Yankees will host the Brewers on March 27th. The Yankees will start the season at home. The Mets home opener will be Friday, April 4th, versus the Blue Jays. So the Blue Jays and Brewers are the two home openers, but inverse on what we think.
Yeah. What are the chances?
Oh, which is interesting because the Mets home opener this year was versus the Brewers, right? That fight with Hoskins.
That's right.
And the Yankees home opener was versus the Blue Jays. How about that? In things that nobody cares about except me for 100, Alex. I wanted to take this time right now to give a special shout out to a listener, Dan Tiki.
Dan, tell me about Dan.
I'll tell you about Dan. And I think any commuter can appreciate this. Yesterday, I leave the show and I am racing to Penn Station to make a train to get to Foo Fighters at Citi Field. More on that.
Mm-hmm.
And in the process, like any good commuter knows, when people are hustling and running in Penn Stations with good reason, they're trying to get home to their families, whatever, you miss a train, it could cost you 20 minutes, half an hour of time at home. So I could always tell when I need to hustle, I want people clearing out. You just make way. You understand? It's like the running of the bulls in Penn Station at rush hour. And when I see somebody a little more urgent than me, I ended up having like 3 minutes to spare. I move out of the way. The day prior, I was racing for a train, and these two people were walking extra slow. And I was running, running, running. I tried to do like a stutter step around them. No contact made, no nothing. And a guy got really mad at me and started yelling at me.
Huh.
You better not come near me like that again. I had no problem. Like, are you serious, dude? You see I'm running for a train. Like, let's not do holding hands.
Right.
So yesterday, the opposite happened. I get off the subway. I'm like, all right, I actually have 4 minutes to make this train. I'll take my time. I don't want to be all sweaty going to a concert. And this dude in a suit with AirPods is booking it. I mean, he is full-blown hustle. And I could feel the pressure. I'm a little ahead of him, behind me. I swing this emergency door thing open, and I turn around, and I usher him like a third base coach. I go, 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 go. He turned around, waved, he goes, thank you so much. I go, go make that train, dude. Go. I thought nothing of it. I'm at Foo Fighters last night.
Uh-huh.
It's about an hour and a half later.
Okay.
I get a tweet from a guy named Dan O'Connell. Totally out of context, goes, I just want to thank you for holding the door for me at Penn Station and letting me make my train. And it dawned on me. He didn't say, hey, Morash, thanks. It was just, I was a random dude. He must have got to that train, had the time to calm down, know he made the train, went, that was Sean Morash that held the door for me. And I just want to say, Dan, thank you for being a good commuter and understanding commuter etiquette.
You are a commuter legend.
Yes. He understood that I was a good commuter and he was a good commuter. And for anybody who's living that lesson, you take a train to and from work, Tom, you tell you this. You see people running, don't complain they're running. They got places to be, and Dan had places to be yesterday. Good listener of Evident TV.
You know what's going to happen now? People are going to like start seeking you out.
Well, they better not be stopping me in Penn Station.
No, not stopping you. Just seeking you out.
Tommy will tell you. I'll knock people over.
I had a Mirage sighting.
Yeah, it might be.
I saw Sean.
I ain't stopping. By the way, I ain't stopping for hellos if I'm making a train. I'm like Costanza leaving a party, knocking over everybody in a flyer. I need to get to that.
And now that I've become a commuter and I got to go out to Kew Gardens, Sean's right. From the minute
that's
we leave here
story, though.
To the
that's
minute
great.
We get home,
tweeted that.
It's a blur.
Yeah.
The point is, it's a blur. So, yeah, if there's a little old lady, she's getting knocked over. It's either me or her, and I'm not sitting in Penn Station for 40 minutes. So we're knocking people over. We're having fights because it's a race against time. 1 minute could equal 50 minutes. Yeah. So it is what it is.
I loved it. I'm
so glad I don't have to do that anymore because I used to take the train.
And it's just a one big hustle.
It just became a race to get to Penn before the train left. Because at Penn, going to Jersey is worse.
Oh, yeah. Long Island is a better setup, for sure.
If you miss it, it's an hour.
And there's no, there's a couple, but there's not a lot of greater feelings than when you arrive for that subway right when it gets there and you get right on the train. Oh, what a feeling.
What a rush. All right, Joe in Brooklyn. Joe, what's up?
Joe, what's up? I understand with the new schedule you play every team, but why do you think he's playing the first three schedules, the first three series of NL teams and four of the first five?
I mean, wouldn't you rather get NL teams out of the way and play the more important American League games throughout the year?
No, I mean, look at this year. We said the Astros the first third of the season. It was hype.
It was hype.
It was, but I think it was only hype because it was the Astros.
Yeah, that's a very, very special situation. And I'll take a step further, Tiki. Granted, I was actually on vacation in May, the second series between the Yankees and Astros. I sit here on July 18th, and the Astros play better baseball. I kind of hate that the Yankees have done playing the Astros already.
I mean, are you? Or are you not comforted by the fact that you've already beaten them three out of what is it? Five out of six.
This is right.
Or no, it's six out of seven.
Yes.
Right? Because they swept and then they lost one, right? So you've already beaten them six out of seven.
This is where I'm fair about it. I don't want to give back those wins or anything, but I'm just talking about from an entertainment point of view. There's a part of me that wants to see this version of the Astros now versus the Yankees. Not what the Yankees are playing well. I don't want to get swept by them, but I would rather play NL teams early. Also, April, you still got the hockey playoffs, the NBA playoffs. It's okay to bounce around. I want the more important games versus the American League team, specifically the division later. Like, 7 out of the last 10 versus Baltimore is scary hard, but it's also probably for the betterment of the baseball.
Right, and by the way, that's a page right out of the NFL. The NFL does that now as well. The series against the presumed division rival, they always happen at the end of the season.
I'm counting shit, but running out.
All right, it's Evan and Tiki on the Fan. Speaking of good music, I do have some thoughts. We get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. I was very fortunate enough, Tiki, our friend Mark, had me up in a fun box last night for Foo Fighters. Mm-hmm. Love Mark, love the crew. Was reunited with Andy, who swallowed the punch during the faux
reunited.
Cheeks.
Poos, Andy Puzik.
Andy Puzik. A lot of us who were in the suite together for the Sixer-Nick playoff game in which a fight broke out.
Yes, faux cheeks.
Crazy guy was trying to get to Tiki. We're reunited for Foo Fighters last night. Now, I was lucky enough and fortunate enough to be in a situation. Many were not lucky enough yesterday out in the openness of the rain. And this is going to tie into the baseball schedule coming out today for next year. Baseball, the stadiums, and now this is tied into concerts have a major issue, and we have a major issue in this town. So now for those of you who are saying, what the heck are you talking about? The Foo Fighters are scheduled to play at Citi Field again tomorrow. They played last night. Everybody that went to that show last night knew that rain and thunderstorms were heavily in the forecast. And they went on show as usual. The show lasted about an hour with still, I would say, several Foo Fighters hits not played. at least seven songs from previous set lists still to go. And Dave Grohl was on the microphone and on the guitar telling fans, hey, this is, we come, we're going to try to speed things up. Starts to play Everlong, which is usually their closing song. Tells everybody, hey, if we can come back out, we'll come back out. Gets called off 10 seconds into Everlong, ripped off the stage, lightning coming around. Everybody has to go to safety at Citi Field last night. This is the scene. Mm. All right? Now, if this was baseball season, you waited out 3 hours, 10 people are left in the stadium to finish a game.
Mm-hmm.
They decide about 45 minutes later, once and for all, they're calling off the concert. Unlike baseball, where you could resume a game or redeem your tickets to another game, basically what you got from the Foo Fighters in Citi Field last night was, sorry this happened, thanks for coming, thanks for spending $60 on parking, thanks for buying your tickets 2 years in advance, thanks for all the beers you bought, sorry you missed most of your hits that we never got to play to. I am not saying that this is a Foo Fighters issue. I'm not even saying it's necessarily a Citi Field issue, but it's more of just...
It sucks issue.
It sucks issue, but also no forward thinking. And this should happen in baseball too, Tiki. That forecast wasn't a pop-up storm. We all saw it coming all night, just like we see this in baseball season all year. The Foo Fighters could have took the stage 30 minutes earlier than they did last night. The ticket said 5:30. They had opening acts on there. They took the stage at 8. They could have took the stage at 7:30 knowing the storm was coming. They did not. Also, today is an off day for the band. They're playing at Citi Field again tomorrow. It's a beautiful day out.
Right.
You could have postponed yesterday morning and said Thursday's forecast looks way better and everybody gets their right ticket for the show. And this is, again, not just a concert thing. In baseball.
What are they doing today? Nothing?
Nothing.
So they're just off.
Now, maybe
today.
The Pretenders, the opening act, have to get out because there's a different opening act tomorrow. But I'm not concerned about that.
Yeah, everybody cares about the opening act. Nobody cares about the opening
act. Tiki, this... Fans got screwed last night at Citi Field big time.
So how long were they on for?
An hour, which to most people would be enough, but when it's an hour and they're playing a great show, but their main songs, they played My Hero, whatever, when you're getting Everlong and all that stuff, you don't get that and you've waited 2 years and spent a lot of money. That's wrong.
Did they open with a hit?
I forgot what they opened with, actually, to be honest with you.
So it wasn't a hit then?
Probably not.
I always think bands should open with a hit.
Start with a banger,
and then play whatever you want, and then end with the iconic
one. And they had some good jam band sessions. I'm not saying the show wasn't good for what you saw. It was great. However, this ties into baseball. You want to issue out a schedule the year before and not give us times. I believe this, and I know that there's TV networks, radio networks. We have better technology than ever, Tiki, on weather.
So it is. You're right.
Better tech. We know when we could get down to the hour we think storms are going to hit.
But I know what you're saying. But I think it's so much easier said than done to forget a band. Because, yes, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Sorry, Pretenders, you're not on.
Of course. Make it, if you got to go,
make it 20 minutes. That's all you're getting.
Right. Cut the opening act short.
Or cut it short or just get rid of it. Doesn't matter. People are here to see the Foo Fighters. Announce it. We're going on early. It's easy to do with the band. But sports is like, it's such a creature of like schedule that to get off of it is, you got to really plan it.
All right.
You got to really like be a couple of days ahead of it.
All right. But
maybe if you're saying that, then I would agree.
Well, this is what I will say. I've seen this happen to us with Yankee and Met games. I have argued forever that both of those stadiums, if not at least one, should have had a retractable roof on it to avoid this, okay? And play most of the games outside, but when weather's coming, you never have a rain out. We didn't do that, and everybody wanted to point the finances.
Yes.
Okay, I it's not in my wallet, so I don't understand. Baseball, we've had no problem telling the players to adjust to a pitch clock, to adjust to new rules left and right. If you wake up, or the night before, and you recheck in the morning, and the Yankees are scheduled to play a game at 7 o'clock versus the Rays, or the Mets are, you know, 7 o'clock Cincinnati Reds at home, and you see that the storm line looks extremely bad with the advanced technology starting 8:45, 9 o'clock. In my mind, a no-brainer and something you should always do to the fans is say, rather than risk it and go, well, let's start this game and see, well, maybe fans get four innings and they have to sit through a three-hour rain delay. I believe, look ahead. You know what? We're moving this game up to 5:30. And baseball is day games all the time. Now, If a fan gets screwed because they can't get out of work early, redeem your ticket if you're unable to use your ticket for another game. But getting the games in or getting shows in when we have this kind of technology and weather advancement, there's no excuse anymore.
But I wonder how often does this happen?
It happens more than you think. So if it happens seven times a year, six times a year, when it happens, it's always a big deal, and the fan always feels slighted. If we had a universal rethinking of the way we handled this, then baseball fans know they're going to do everything they can to move up the game, and if not, I'll use my ticket another day.
Yeah, but I think it just gets complicated, and it makes the presumption that people are basing their life around going to this game.
Well, for a lot of people, they are.
Game. Well, some of them, but I think it's a very small percentage.
All right, but wouldn't you also say with the cost of games, Tiki, whether it's tickets, parking, the night out, everything, asking the family to come, invest in all that money, park your car, do everything, and kind of they know the forecast, but they go and they get four innings of baseball, and then basically they have to leave because they can't sit around a 2.5 hour rain delay, but they paid $50 to park a car, and it cost them $200 in tickets.
No,
that's not right.
I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying. I'm just adding that the logistics of that
is tough
league-wide. Forget league-wide. I think club-wide is extraordinarily hard. To do it league-wide would be damn near impossible.
I'm just asking they look into it. And the Foo Fighters last night, that was another one. The Foo Fighters should have known, and Dave Grohl and company should have known, we should be taking the stage at 7:30 tonight.
The problem with that, if you take the stage early, how about the guy that went to work? You sort of alluded to it. They missed the Foo Fighters.
But, Tommy, this is where it's covered. The ticket yesterday, and I had one, said 5:30. Now, we all know opening acts and everything like that. Look, you're covered on that. We told you the show starts at 5:30. So
yeah, the ticket doesn't say the main act is going on at 8:15.
Exactly.
The ticket also says rain or shine. If you go to Disney World for 9 days and it pours on you the entire time, it's part of it. You're going to Lake George if it rains. I get it from the technology perspective, but there is no roof. So maybe going forward, that's something you do, but you kind of go see him at the Garden. It's not going to rain.
Look, all I know is anybody who spent that money yesterday and you didn't get those hit songs, and kind of there's no answer for it. There's no kind of refund back or like a discount to a future something. How about give everybody a free T-shirt, something? I don't know. The Foo Fighters, and I think that's on the Foo Fighters, not on Citi Field, it's on the Mets. Hey, sorry, that's a bad job. I think some fans were let down last night, and I'm with you. 888-808-1019. Rick in Tampa. Rick, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys?
All's good.
Tiki, what's up, buddy?
All's good, man.
You know, yeah, it's good. You know, down here, you got the amphitheater, you know, with outdoor events all the time, and it rains every afternoon. So, I mean, if I imagine Dragons in September, it could rain, you know, but you just never know when you're down here. But I agree with you on that. Real quick, you guys are talking about 4th of July and Christmas, and you're both right and you're both wrong, because 4th of July, you got to think of us down here in Florida and stuff, too. We'd love to have the Yankees on when, you know, we're cooking, barbecuing and stuff. So I think it's a must to play a day game on the 4th of July.
Agreed.
Nothing's better than that. Christmas, it's got, I mean, how many memories do we have growing up with football on Christmas? We remember we used to get around the blue-gray game was the only thing we would drool over on a Christmas day with the family.
That's true. That yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So, but to have Christmas memories of our football teams playing on Christmas, you cannot, you have to have, I think that's a great thing to have. So that's something I think that makes good memories. And real quick, I got to ask you this, Sean.
Yeah.
Because they're doing the top 100 Giants. I think countdown. If you got LT, Eli, you got Strahan, and then I guess Tiki, you're the man for fourth, right?
I wish I was in the top 10.
You don't think so?
I know where I am. So
when does that full come out where we can?
Well, they started it now. It's going on now. So you
right, can, I know there's a safe
if you,
one.
If you go on the Giants, I think it's mostly their social media. They'll have it, and I think it's few days they're putting out, or maybe it's a week, they're putting out the next 10 or okay. So. Saquon was 95, I think he was, or 96 or something like that. Richie Soyberg, my buddy, he was 100.
Wow.
And so okay. They're working their way up towards the start of the season. So you can find them. It's actually a pretty cool thing.
And to answer Rick's question, I know he was having fun. I think this is great. I love it as a Giant historian. The problem is it's unfair to me. It's unfair for me to put some guys I've never seen before in context. Like, I could give you.
That's the thing. So there's a bunch of names when you get into the top 10 that most people won't remember.
Right.
Or
we know from looking up at the Ring of Honor and hearing the stories.
You'll know them, but from the Ring of Honor. That's the best great indication. But a lot of people won't know who they were, even though they were unbelievable Giants. And right. Some of the best players really in history of the game, especially relative to their time period. So... it is a cool thing that they're doing. I like it. I'm glad I'm part of it.
You know what? That just reminded me of, you know what I wanted to do last week in my week off and I completely forgot?
What's that?
Order one of the 100-year anniversary jerseys. I wanted to do that. I want to make sure I got to remember
what
that.
What number are you getting? Did we even talk about this?
What number?
Yeah.
What do you mean, what number?
Whose number are you getting?
So I thought about getting a Brian Burns.
Okay.
I don't think I could put the number zero on my belly. Because it just looks like I'm drawing a racetrack.
So you're going to do Kayvon?
I think single digits is a problem for me.
Really?
Yeah, again, I'm worried about the look. I think I'm a double-digit guy, so neighbor single digits. I think.
Oh, God, who? You're limited then. You got to do.
I'm going to tell you. There's two guys I thought of. I don't own a Dexter Lawrence jersey.
I was going to say, it had to be Sexy Dexy.
Or a Bobby Okereke. So, either way, I want that ugly, gaudy 100-year anniversary jersey badly, so week one I could just dump nachos
on. Both great choices.
Yeah. Where would you go?
If I was you,
yeah,
I would go Sexy Dexy.
Probably. Sexy Dexy deserves more.
Because he's here. He's ours.
Right. He is.
Bobby
ours.
Came in as a, you know. He's
bought. Yeah. Paid for.
Right.
Exactly.
He's our mercenary.
He's our mercenary.
But he's a great mercenary.
He's not unlike, a piece
unlike,
of, you know,
unlike Evan's pieces of crap.
Exactly. Exactly.
So that top 100 list, they're up to 71. It's Antonio Pierce. So that's where we're at. I think it's like once a week on Tuesdays. We're up to 71. It's AP.
So you're in the top 70. How does that feel, TV?
It feels fantastic. I'm happy for AP, too.
I am, too. 888-808-1019. Andrew in Virginia. Andrew, what's up?
Hey, guys. I'm a Pentagon guy that's still welcome you guys to have a tour sometime.
Oh, thanks, right.
But, no, I did. I was on leave yesterday and did the old Chuck E. Cheese thing, and the pizza was really good.
Right, Andrew. Really good. Thank you. I see your thing says Evan is right. Chuck E. Cheese pizza is good. I'm the Sean's been the Chuck E. Cheese pizza guy. Right now,
okay.
Now, when I was a kid, we liked it as a kid.
It was terrible as a kid.
I'm telling you, as a father now,
it was microwave pizza.
Right, it's not that anymore. They changed it at some point. I've gone back with my kids. It is good pizza. Am I wrong, Andrew?
You're not wrong, and they had stuffed crust options all the toppings you'd find at a regular place.
Yeah, see, you don't even need the stuffed crust. My point is just like simply their sausage, their plain pie. Andrew, thank you for calling. People aren't going to like backing us up. I work in Manhattan every day. I live in Long Island, no Northern Jersey. I get the pizza craze around here. I have had some of the places around here. I don't want to name names and crush them. I think they're fine. I think they're good. Joe's, John's a Bleecker. I will name some names. Chuck E. Cheese has better pizza than them.
Okay, so there's so many things to get into here.
Yes, they do.
That guy just called from where?
Virginia.
Okay, Tiki from Virginia. Yes. I have family in Virginia.
Alexandria, I believe.
The pizza in Virginia is
hideous.
Of course.
So
it is.
Of course a Chuck E. Cheese. Dude. Hey, this is some damn good pizza.
Do you think I want to do this right now, Tommy?
No.
I'm a New Yorker at heart. Do you think I want to be getting on the microphone and telling you some of these iconic places have worse pizza than Chuck E. Cheese?
We got to find a boy to settle this. We have to get some authentic New York pizza.
Right.
Stick it here next to Chuck E. Cheese and then have an actual, like...
You know what? And also blindfold you.
A fair assessment.
Blindfold you. Put the slices out.
I'll do it. I'm good.
We have to... I don't want to be that. You guys might be rolling over on the BQE going, here comes Sean with hot takes again. I don't want to do this as a fat guy that loves pizza. I don't want to be the guy pounding the table for Chuck E. Cheese pizza. And you might take that as a slight at these great places in Manhattan. It's not a slight. That's how good Chuck E. Cheese pizza's become.
But this is where it's the hot take. If you want to say Chuck E. Cheese pizza's good, that's fine. But that's where you need to stop.
No.
When you start ranking it ahead of other pizza,
I'm not telling you it's the best pizza on the planet.
For something.
I'm sure you could give me a place in Staten Island better pizza than Chuck E. Cheese. But I know for a fact what I've had recently, it's better than some of the iconic places here in the Village. I'm telling you.
I like Pizza Hut and Domino's. I'm all for that. But I also love all like John's on Bleecker and Joe. I love all those pizza places too. And I think when you go Chuck E. Cheese over that, it's blasphemy. And you know it.
Go back.
Have you been to Chuck E. Cheese lately?
Well, no, I don't have kids. If I'm rolling around Chuck E. Cheese, I'm going to get arrested.
So do you think before 3 years ago when I started taking my kids to Chuck E. Cheese, I had this take and I thought this?
I'm sure you did.
No,
I don't remember the pizza from Chuck E. Cheese. I'm just saying it's
I just remember how bad it was.
Yeah,
that's the only thing I remember.
It's not a pizzeria.
Little garlic undercarriage there.
Oh. To die for? Come on. Yeah.
So there's one right down the street from us. So I might have to just go in and... Can I get a slice, please?
You can.
You want to play some games? No, I just need a slice.
They're going to stamp your hand on the way in with the combination numbers. Make sure you're allowed back out with whoever came in. Michael in New Providence, New Jersey. Michael, what's up?
Good afternoon, guys. First of all, Tiki, Nona's Pizza in Florham Park is very good.
Nona's is great. Toronto's is good over there as well.
Yes. So now let's get to the football and the Yankees and the Mets and playing on 9/11. This year, they're playing baseball on 9/12. And they're playing football on 9/12.
Mm-hmm.
So why can't the Mets and Yankees next year in 2025 play on 9/11 when there's a football game? There's so many millions of people in the New York tri-state area that want to see a game. What would it matter if football's being played? And I love football more than anyone. I was a diehard Jet fan for 35 years, and we gave up the tickets in the mid-90s because the Jets stink.
Michael, I think you're underestimating. You don't want anything getting taken away. You want all eyes on that. It would be a really big deal in New York. I got news for you. And when the ratings came out, more people will have watched that football game than the Yankees and Mets on September 11th. It's just the truth.
Yes, because it's on a Thursday night.
Yep.
So, but the only thing, you could make it a day game.
Yeah, but see, then that loses its... You don't want the Yankees and Mets playing a getaway Thursday afternoon. They did that very early on in the ride. You know, it's got to be prime time night, all pumped up.
Especially if it's on September 11th.
Well, maybe we wouldn't mind a Thursday afternoon.
I know, because we could actually go.
Exactly. Evan, the scorecard out. Huh? What are we doing here? All right. John in Deer Park. John, you're on the fan.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
All's good.
I have a different turn on the whole Soto, Mets, and where he might be going discussion. I think that if the Mets... Clearly, the Mets have plenty of money to compete with any team in East, in National League, American League, and so on and so forth. But the fact of the matter is, I'm reading the Mets playoff history, playoff, how many times they've been in the playoffs in their history, and unless I'm reading it wrong, it says that in only 10 seasons, they've made the playoffs in their history. Am I reading that wrong? Because the reality is, teams like the Yankees
that can't be right.
and the Dodgers, I don't know, that's what it's saying here. And with winning the World Series twice, I mean, it may be a little off, but...
No, winning the World Series one.
No, you're right, franchise over you. They've made the playoffs 10 times.
Wow.
Right. So
I guess I don't even... It's been that bad.
Right. So my point is would someone like Soto... for an extra $50 or even $100 million. When you're talking about getting a $600 million contract, would someone like Soto put himself on a team that is not even likely to win or be in the playoffs?
But I think...
Out of the next 10 years of his career?
It's a good question, John, but I think when you're a guy like Juan Soto, you think you change that.
Yes.
And then you become the reason, the catalyst for why this team is now all of a sudden a perennial postseason performer.
And you could identify that, hey, this franchise has only made the playoffs 10 times. Right. Guess and what? I could become the best player in franchise history.
And that becomes the legacy-defining right. you know, situation where you go to a team that, and all of a sudden they're consistently in the postseason, and it's because of you.
Right.
And then you become iconic. But, I mean, for Soto, I think it is more like 80% money than sentiment.
Absolutely.
Or storyline or
perfect world that pairs up.
Of course, right? And if the Yankees win and do something somewhat special this year, it perfectly pairs right. up for him to stay with the Yankees. But I think it's more 80% who's giving me the best deal.
Especially when you're Scott Boras's baby like that.
Right.
All right. John in Long Island or on Long Island. John, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up, John?
John, I just got to tell you, you lost your fat card when you put John's and Bleeker and Joe's in the same sentence as Chuck E. Cheese. What are we doing here?
Now, John, when was the last time you had all three? Be honest.
I swear to God, hand to God, about a week ago I had Joe's Pizza. Utterly fantastic.
But I'm not telling you it wasn't good or not fantastic. I'm just telling you I've had all three within the last 3 months. Chuck E. Cheese, at least the one in West High Slope, absolutely a better slice.
It's Chuck E. Cheese, processed mozzarella, horrible sauce. Come on, what are we doing?
I got news for you. If you think John's a bleaker has a cow churning milk and there's somebody shredded mozzarella in the back, you're out of your mind.
At least it's a little fresh. At least it's fresher than Chuck E. Cheese.
Have you had Chuck E. Cheese yet?
Yeah, I mean, when I was three.
There you go. That's a loss. That's what I'm talking about. I had Chuck E. Cheese when I was a kid. It's not the same pizza from when we were kids. That's what I'm trying to stress to you. Times have changed. I don't know who's tossing the dough and painting that garlic butter underneath, but it's not the same pizza. They changed the
And Loogie's right. Like in Virginia, strategy. you can the best you're getting in Virginia was like Pizza Hut.
Right.
Correct.
Or Domino's or Gumby. Pizza.
Gumby.
Yeah.
It's horrific.
It was just a Charlottesville thing. I think I actually may have been more places other than Charlottesville, but we could call up and be like, I want a Gumby, damn it. That was the name of the pizza.
But you can't call up with that take and not have had Chuck E. Cheese recently.
But I remember growing up and having Chuck E. Cheese's pizza, because it was cheeses then, Chuck E. Cheese's pizza, like pizza bites, and thinking it was good pizza.
Yeah. Yeah,
until I came to New York.
Right.
And it's just a different world.
And you know what I think happened? I think Chuck E. Cheese, the pandemic hit, nobody was going there, and all they could do was sling their pizzas. They had changed their name, too. I think they called it, like, Pasquale's Pizza on, like, the apps, Uber Eats and stuff. I think they had no choice but to compete and change the ingredients and how they made their pizza, and then they kept it when people started going back to the games.
They also had to because... Back in the day, you could take a 7 or 8 year old to Chuck E. Cheese, and it'd be like, "Oh, okay, I'll eat it, Mom."
Right.
Now they go and like, this pizza stinks.
Right.
Like the kids even wouldn't eat it.
Right. So they had to
change it.
It's like the Mets signing Soto. You didn't see it coming, but Chuck E. Cheese changed its pizza. It's unbelievable.
All right, this is Loogie here, the future of the station, generational talent. Everybody that's listening, take a deep breath. Sean's an idiot. This is the guy that takes his wife to Applebee's on their anniversary. He looks for the chain restaurants.
There's sentimental reasons for that.
Everybody that's screaming and yelling, we hear your calls. He's a moron. You can't on New York City WFAN Afternoon Drive Radio pump up Chuck E. Cheese
but
pizza.
But have you had it?
Tiki, don't you dare take his side on this.
I'm just saying, have you had it?
Everybody arguing against it hasn't had it in recent months.
I'm trying to be an IPO.
An independent pizza observer.
I'm just trying to be an IPO. I have not had it, so I can't speak to this.
Yeah.
But I kind of want to give, you know, the hefty guy on the show the benefit of the doubt.
He's a compiler, though. It doesn't mean he has taste.
He's eating it.
I've compiled calories, no kidding. Most pizza lovers have. Look, Loogie, I don't want to have the take. I don't want to have the take, but I have to be honest with the audience.
Fat, fat, fat.
That's all. All right. Joe in Jersey. Joe, what's up?
Sean, I love you, but your food card is revoked, man. And Tommy pretty much summed it up for me.
I mean, Joe, when was the last time you had Chuck E. Cheese pizza?
Never. And I'm so glad that I never did.
There you go.
Never.
See, you don't know what you're missing. You see that, Tiki? Three people now and haven't had it.
I need somebody who's actually had Chuck E. Cheese, because I haven't had it.
Joe, this is where I have to say, in honor of WFN's history, get lost.
I need to have somebody who's had it. To corroborate you, John.
I believe somebody
who's had it.
I had a tweet.
Because there are adults that have been to Chuck E. Cheese, and they've taken their kids, and they've had the pizza. I need you to call us.
Ed at Giants Forever, whatever, has tweeted at me, at Sean Morash, I was at Chuck E. Cheese Saturday, and the pizza was, in capitals, very good. There you go. People are rallying to my cause.
Do you think Pizza Hut and Domino's is good pizza?
No, it's Pizza Hut and Domino's.
Okay, but my point is you can say that that pizza's good. I'm cool with that.
You may like it.
No, you can like it, but I don't think I would never put it. That's why I'm telling you this is a different category. It's different strategies.
Yeah, every now and then there's a night where I'm like, I could use a Domino's.
Right. Whenever I want Domino's or Pizza Hut, I want Domino's or Pizza Hut. I don't want pizza.
But again, you said Chuck E. Cheese is good pizza. You can have that opinion. You have that opinion. But you're sitting there going, maybe there's a place at Staten Island that might be better. That's where you sound like a total chooch, a total idiot. You're a moron for the take because you're making it seem like Chuck E. Cheese is sitting at the height of the pizza mountain. That's the problem.
Lou Gower, I remember a point in time where you got mad at Evan when Evan wouldn't even consider Jalen Brunson a top five player in the NBA. Sometimes it takes people coming around.
Sometimes you just got to see it.
Jalen Brunson's rise in the NBA stardom is the same as Chuck E. Cheese's rise in pizza. 888-808-1019. More when we come back on Evan Atiki.